Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on like an 80s theme today, which I like.
I like it. I'm bouncing.
And straight to rock around, to rock around. Is right now, don't get tricky. Run DMC,
I'm not gonna
man.
Do it because I'm gonna sound really dumb. I'm bouncing though. I'm in my room. I got the curtains drawn, but the lights are on, and I'm bouncing up and down because it's booty day.
I remember watching MTV as a kid. You know, I am old enough to not like I don't think I remember life before MTV because I was only like 5 or 6 when it came out. But I remember watching MTV when they actually had videos, when they weren't just doing reality TV shows all day.
Yeah, totally.
I used to love when Run DMC videos used to come on. It was just fantastic to watch. It was just so different than everything else, obviously, because it was very poppy at that point. Like, it was like, you know, Madonna and like Cyndi Lauper and like, you know, whatever. All the pop songs were on. Michael Jackson eventually. Even though originally Michael Jackson was not on MTV. I remember that was like a big deal too. And then when Thriller came out, that's when they put him on MTV.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that was like a big deal. Well, the first original Thriller video is like, it's like super long. Crazy long.
So I used to watch MTV like every day when I came home from school. Like this was like...
Well, TRL, right? Carson Daly.
Yeah. We would watch that and we would watch all the... We would like literally just sit there and watch the videos. And I mean, I was like, you've seen that video 20 times before, but you still watch it. And then
now you got to go to YouTube to watch the videos.
Yeah. So I kind of understand what kids do now because like when I was, I always remember this, it was second grade and I don't think I knew how to dance, but it was like the same, it was like the first era where you were starting to go to like parties at somebody's house.
Yeah.
And they were like, maybe going to have a DJ. And I was like, ooh, I got to practice. I don't know how to dance. So then I would just watch Club MTV and I would watch it and I was like, okay, I can do the Running Man.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Downtown Julie Brown. And I would just sit there and watch it and I would imitate everybody doing their dances.
Laura and Greg, do you have any idea of any of the people we just named Downtown Julie Brown? Carson Daly, you have to know who that
is. Yeah,
who
no Carson Daly.
Who was the British guy? Who was that British guy?
There was a British guy?
Yeah, I think then he was with like Colin or something. Well, Chris Connolly, was he on MTV there?
Chris Connolly was on MTV for a long time, And Kurt Loder.
Kurt Loder. Maybe that's
Tabitha Soren. I remember Tabitha Soren used to get all the Tupac interviews.
Was it Matt Pinter or Matthew Pinto? Or what was it? He was a bald guy, bigger guy, bald.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so. I just remember that was like, I don't even know why that would be something I would want to watch now. Like, now you want to watch like sitcoms or dramas or streaming shows or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, literally just watching the same music videos over and over. That's what we would do before they had regular programming.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch SportsCenter 27 times.
I still do
Kobe,
that.
Kobe, right, used to talk about that's how he came across Stuart Scott. Like, he would wake up in the morning and they would Kobe would, you know, remember the late night SportsCenter would just run over and over and over again every morning, right? And Kobe, that's how he came across Stuart Scott. Laura, what were you saying about BET's 106 in Park?
Yeah, I love TRL, Carson Daly. I was a pop person too, but 106 in Park was free. That was my thing. Or like Rhapsody, The Basement.
But that was after TRL. Like I feel like I would occasionally watch that, but that was after the fact, I felt like.
I grew up on that.
That was, well, you're like a generation removed from us. So there's that. That makes
sense. Yeah, she's like in the mid 90s. And it was Matt Pinfield, by the way, that I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Momo.
Yeah.
So our pal Ryan Russillo said on his podcast that Kawhi may have reached out to Chris Paul. First of all, let's start with like a fit. That makes sense from a fit perspective, right? Chris Paul with those guys. That's exactly what they would need.
That's like exactly what the Clippers need. They need a real point guard. They need a point guard. They need a leader. I can think of nobody better that would be available. And he... You know, obviously left the Clippers on, how would we call these terms?
Not so great?
Not so great terms. Like, you know, wasn't exactly parting gifts. But, you know, Doc Rivers is not there anymore. So that's one guy that I think.
Now, is that the big hurdle? Do you think that was the biggest hurdle?
No.
No?
Well, I mean, if you're Steve Ballmer, you weren't really pleased about how that all ended.
Yeah, you're not you didn't go scot free there for sure.
Yeah, and Lauren,
so you think Chris harbors some maybe even if it's the smallest bit of animosity towards Ballmer as well because he's got to okay it, right?
Yeah. So, like, I think Chris would get over all of that, though, because, like, if I'm Chris Paul and I'm at this stage of my career, I just want to play for a championship and I want to be as close to home as possible. Right. So, if I'm Chris, I want to play in Phoenix or LA. Those, yeah. I think the Clippers are closer to winning a championship than Phoenix.
Sure.
So, to me, that makes a ton of sense. The Clippers have to do something. But the biggest issue with that is
Sam Presti.
Yeah. I mean, didn't they already? Can they say, like, hey, remember how we gave you, like, all of our draft picks? Can you just, like, retroactively count some of those?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what would the trade be? Like,
that's the thing. I don't know how you get there without a third or even a fourth team, potentially.
Yeah, and there are some very creative ways to get there, right? There are, don't forget about teams like the Hawks, who have the most cap space available of anybody.
Yeah. Right. They can absorb stuff.
They can absorb other contracts. They can like let's say the Hawks really wanted Montrezl Harrell. Okay. Right. So the Hawks could then, I think he can do a sign and trade and he can go to there. He can go there. And then some of the, there's always ways to be creative in this, with, two or three or four teams. I think Sam Presti is one of the most creative GMs there, but
yes.
Oh man, if I'm Lawrence Frank, do I really want to be trading with Sam Presti again?
Again, right?
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, it has to feel like a third team. I do think that if Kawhi, Kawhi reached out to him, it makes sense. And Kawhi, everyone thinks of Kawhi, as this, like, maybe it was kind of the way we thought about him in Toronto, like this kind of. Like, he was quiet and, somewhat charming whenever he did decide to speak to the media. The I'm a fun guy, ha, 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 whatever. Right? But then we saw he's kind of an assassin, right? Like, last offseason. Yeah. And, the way things went down between him and the Lakers and the Clippers and Paul George and all that stuff. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he would reach out to Chris.
No. I mean, that makes a ton of sense for him. And, I think if you're Kawhi, you have this year, basically, to decide if you're going to stay in L.A. Now, I think Kawhi wants to stay in L.A. Mm-hmm. This is his hometown. It's where his family is.
Right.
I mean, his mom actually, strangely, is in San Antonio still. But for the most part, his family's here.
Yeah.
And I think this is what he wanted. This is the big media market, just because last year didn't end the way they wanted it to. Now, I remember, I had this one little detail when I was doing some reporting on, why the Clippers moved on from Doc Rivers. What happened to them? Why did they never really come together? Why did they choke in the bubble? And, Om Young Music told me about this, and it was I think I put some of this in my story, but I don't know if I put all of it in. Om said, there had been a time in like January of last year when the Clippers got worked by a couple of teams. Montrezl Harrell said a few things, in the media, and it was kind of it was a little tense. And while they were out on a road trip, Kawhi sort of organized a few film sessions for everyone in his hotel room. And it was like, oh, I didn't know Kawhi did things like that, right? And it was like, it wasn't just like once, it was a couple of times. And then if you listen to what Kawhi says, we need people with basketball IQ, we need to lead leadership. I mean, I think there's more to Kawhi than we give him credit for, than just being like that assassin on the court. Like he really does have that in him. It just doesn't come naturally to him, or it's maybe not his most comfortable place. But when he needs to make that kind of move, he's going to do it.
Let's explore more of that on the other side. We got a quick break here. Plus, the hated Celtics could be making a move on someone the Lakers could be targeting.
Oh.
So we'll get into that as well, all coming up in 3.5 minutes. Momo's in the house, Sedano and LZ, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ooh, oh, salt and pepper.
Yep. Hey, don't forget, our buddy Edgar Fernandez from Costa Mesa won and got his virtual key on Friday here on the 710 ESPN Month of Giving from our friend Sal Gonzalez at Culver City Mazda. Do you want your key? I'm sure you heard Mason in Ireland give out the destination of the day during the 3 o'clock hour. Hopefully you wrote it down. Coming up here in this 5 o'clock hour, there's only 30 minutes left. There's only two breaks left. Here's a hint. It's going to happen in one of those breaks. So in this hour, we are going to give you the chance to win. You'll hear the cue to call from our buddy Sal Gonzalez. If you're caller 7 with the correct destination of the day, you win a virtual key that could start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport with $1,000 in the glove box. You can take a road trip on us. It's the 710 ESPN Month of Giving. And by the way, if you are the 7th caller and get one of those virtual keys, we've got a gift card for you. What is today's gift card, Greg?
Today's gift card is from, I forget.
But it'll be good.
It'll be really good. It's
I mean,
be
for the love
one.
Of God.
I mean, it's from Islands right? today. It's from Islands.
Islands.
Today.
Ooh,
I like Islands.
Islands. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all, you know what? That's always where we used to like go on dates in high school. Like we would like go out to Islands.
Islands is good. Those burgers are good.
The thing about it though, if you go on a date and you're at Islands, you can't order one of those burgers because they're so
they're too big.
Yeah, and then you're trying to eat it. You got like pineapple juice all over you, you know. And,
yeah, so sexy.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, yeah. You well, right. If they go on date number two, that you know that they
true.
Love
it. Yeah. True. Yeah.
That could be actually a bigger test.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is the best? Like, what is the best date spot? Like, if you had to pick a date spot in LA, like that you're like. This
well, how old am I though? Okay, am I a high school kid?
No. You're an adult. Something? You're an adult.
I'm an adult. 20.
You're an adult.
Okay, so if I'm like a 20 something,
and by the way, we do have some stuff to unpack on Kawhi and the Celtics trying to steal somebody who the Lakers are targeting in free agency or via trade. But go ahead.
Ramona, 20 something. I think I just want to go out to like kind of a hip restaurant, like something kind of cool, and then maybe like.
Like
you
a
know,
swanky restaurant with like a bar.
Yeah, like West Hollywood, Melrose area.
With some EDM music in the background or some house music. Yeah.
Some kind of chic or cool or something, right? Like something Hollywood. The thing is, a lot of people I feel like have outdoor dates in LA. Like we're gonna go hiking. Hey, let's go hike.
Ooh.
And the thing is like that's a good date for somebody you know and like. But I don't think that's a first date.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Ooh. You got to know. Yeah, because you're going to be sweaty and gross probably. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could be falling. You could fall.
You could fall. You could get tired. You could like, you know, or like what if one of you is like super billy goat up the mountainside and the other is like, whoa, hold on, you know, and it doesn't mean that you're not in shape, but like. You know, that's if you're two different fitness levels, that's not great.
Right. Plus, right.
Hiking doesn't necessarily lend itself to conversation because it's like one person is usually in front and it's not like side to side.
Yeah. Laura, so what about you, Laura?
Do you think?
So I used to want to be wine and dine on the first date, but now I'm older. I don't got like I got to go on a coffee date or something that's super chill to see if I even like you first.
Right. That's a good way.
And then don't spend that much money on you either. You know what I mean? So I feel like a coffee date, something super relaxed is better. Then the second date would be something more like a hike or like a nice dinner, because then imagine you don't like the person and now you're like, oh, man, like they spend money and I got. Ugh. So I think a coffee date is better. For the first one.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a tea. So,
like when I was in high school, we used to go into like chain restaurants. We were always going
Of course, Chili's or whatever. Yeah.
And it was always kind of like, you know, that's not like a huge commitment. Like if it's not going well, it's not going well.
Yeah.
But like, I just think you want to like be careful about anything that's a long time commitment on a first date.
Sure. No question.
You can't get out of.
No question.
Right?
When I was single, I used to have a 3-date rule.
Yeah.
So to Laura's point, I would do – the first date would be super casual, like coffee shop, something like that. Nothing too fancy, right? Just like super casual. Hey, let's just chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the next date would be like something a little better, right? Like a dinner date or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then like if they got to the third date, then it would be something more extravagant, right? Like
Be
like some cool like beach – thing or like some kind of adventure, right? Like that would be the third date. Like that's how I used to do it back in the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But very, you know, listen, That way, you know, there are tiers, right? Like you're like, she's a first date. Nope, she didn't get to second date. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you figure that out. It was kind of like my own version of, like, somebody should do that as a reality show, because I feel like, and maybe they do. I don't know. I don't watch reality TV. But I feel like that was an easy way to weed people out.
Right. And I think that, like, the worst is, like, the worst date you can go on is to go to a movie. Like, that's
You never talk.
Yeah. I mean, most of that you, like, chat a little bit in line when you're ordering some popcorn or something. Yeah. And then you go sit in a dark movie. And then afterwards, if you like the movie or didn't like, I mean, I guess if you went to dinner afterwards, you could, like, talk about if you like the movie. But, like, I don't know. You're just sitting there with somebody you don't really know watching a movie.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Happy That's Hour fun. Is a good one. Beto Duran just texted me. Happy That's Hour a is a good one. Is a good one. Happy Hour is a good, like, first date, because you know what? You could probably run into other people so they can save you if they have to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also, when you say, like, hey, do you want to get a drink sometime? That to me is, like, bordering on, like, booty call area. Like a nightcap, a drink after dinner.
Right.
Like, that to me is, like, it's the end of the night. We may not even know each other, but something.
Yeah, happens, no, but if it's happy hour, that's different.
Yeah, happy hour is early.
Yeah.
So,
right. That's like 5, 6, 7 o'clock. Right. Yeah.
And if it's going well, then maybe we stay and actually order a meal.
Right. You go out to eat afterwards. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right, Momo. Let's go back to Kawhi later.
Okay.
Let's talk about the hated Celtics looking to make a move on a potential Lakers target. Drew Holiday. Like, Drew Holiday would be nice on the Lakers. Now, I don't know if the Lakers, you know, much like what we were joking about, the Clippers trying to get Chris Paul and dealing with Sam Presti. Like, I don't know if the Lakers have the ammunition to get Drew Holiday after David Griffin basically took almost everything the Lakers had to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But I think from a fit perspective, he's actually a lot of what the Lakers would want. And he is someone that's clearly very familiar with Anthony Davis. He defends his butt off, his booty off. He hits shots. He's a good shot maker. And he does, you know, he can run secondary offense. Like, I don't think he's a tremendous point guard, but I think that he's good. Like, he's solid in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually perfect with someone like LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, he would fit well. But how are the Celtics getting in on that?
The Celtics have a lot of good players. And if you trade for Drew Holiday, that means you're probably parting ways with either Kemba or Marcus Smart.
Right.
Now, Marcus Smart fits way better to me in terms of what the Pelicans would be looking to do, right? Yeah. He's younger, would fit in with that young core. I mean, he's a little redundant with Josh Hart, I guess. But, like, the Pelicans to me, like, you know, they're going to want, you know, for Drew Holiday, I think you want, like, a good young player who's established.
Right.
And you want some draft picks or some future. Maybe you want a young player with some promise, like a rookie who played a little bit but could have some promise.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets you, like, you know, maybe a team like Milwaukee, you can get something like a future first or something.
Right,
because I think he would really help the Bucks as well.
And Milwaukee makes sense because he's got an opt-out. He's probably going to opt out after next year.
Right.
So if Giannis leaves you high and dry, then you don't have to stick with him if you don't want to.
Yeah, and I think that's what, like, Drew Holiday to me is not the Anthony Davis level, like, trade. One, he's not that caliber, but he really could help a good team, like a championship contender. I think he could really help. Like, if I'm the Raptors, I look at that too.
Yeah, okay? that's a good team for sure.
You know, let's see if the market for Fred VanVleet gets really
too crazy. Yeah,
and
you look at Drew.
Another guard there. Maybe look at Drew, and one year left, and then you're still, it doesn't take you out of the race
in the hunt
Giannis.
For other stuff. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, real quick, because we got a break, and we have a 2-minute break here. But Ben Lyons has just texted me. He said his first date with his wife was the red carpet at the Cannes Film Festival. And I literally was like, come on, dude. Like, you took her to France? The south of France? What the hell?
Did he run into her there? Did they meet there?
Know.
Or did he just
He said Foxcatcher was the movie. Bergman, can you top Cannes?
I mean, not advise that. That's such a Ben Lyons thing to do. He's like, oh, I took you to Cannes. Of course he did.
All right, Greg, you know what? We'll save yours for the other side because you feel like we're being disrespectful. But
disrespectful.
Now I'm going to be extra disrespectful and wait till the other side of the break. You actually tease your thing. But coming up next, What is the latest with Kuz and the Lakers? And don't forget, you can win that virtual key. It could happen. It could happen. We got two more breaks. This one and one more. Stick around. It could be this one. 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hey. Oh, this is my song. Bitty, bitty, bop, bop.
Go ahead, Momo.
Oh, this is Selena. Bitty, bitty. Well, if you just saw me, I'd be like, if you saw what I was doing right now, I'm like salsaing in my room.
So it's funny. I like just watching. I find myself at night watching a lot of, I like watching documentaries. Okay.
Yeah.
So there on DirecTV, there is a channel called the Reels channel.
Ah,
and it's
okay.
Basically just entertainment documentaries, right? Cool. Well, not always. Most
is it like
though.
VH1 Behind the Music?
Sort of.
Okay.
And they've got a J-Lo. They got a two-hour block, I think. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow. It's sometime this week. It could be on the weekend. Of J-Lo and Selena back-to-back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think those are really good. I'd see a J-Lo documentary.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was her like career making role. She did so good in that
as an actress, for sure.
As an actress.
Question. Yeah.
And then that's what got me into Selena's music. Like I didn't know about her because I was just, you know, from LA and I was younger. I didn't know, right? Like
yeah.
And like now that's like on a permanent rotation in my playlist.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great song.
On the floor, right? Yeah. Like that one, bitty bitty bop bop. Like that's you know,
yeah.
I mean that I have heard there was talk of doing a remake of the Selena movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should touch it. It's still
No. It still stands up. Plus Edward James Olmos was good in it too.
Are they really?
Yeah. By the way, real quick,
they're doing a Netflix series on it.
Oh, on Netflix. Is that okay? That's different. That's fine.
Oh, I'll watch. Yeah. I'll still watch, but I like the original.
So, Momo, with Kuz, and I want to we'll get to Kawhi again next hour just cuz I know. And I'll get to you, Greg, in a second. Clint Yates going to join us at 6. And by the way, the virtual key, I'm going to be honest, there's only one more break left. So you kind of know it's going to be coming here soon. So keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. If you want to win the virtual key to try to potentially win or be registered to win the 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport. It does rotate. We've done it at different times, different blocks and different spot blocks. And this one today is going to be the last one. So keep it locked. But either way, Momo, with Kuz, let me describe the way I would, how I viewed him. And LZ and I talked about this the other day. When he came out of college and came to the Lakers, forget about his play, because we've discussed his play just yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's regressed a little from a maturity perspective. And it was like he came in very serious, right? Like, want to work on his game. And he says those things, but it feels like it's just words, right? Like, he got better, I thought, working around LeBron and AD. And look, the net rating showed that. They were better with him on the floor. But I feel like he still does it reluctantly. You know, I've always joked historically that LeBron could be a little passive-aggressive, and it feels like Kuz does some of that, right? Like, when you've heard him
in
the media, where he's like, you know, I'm playing my role, I got to do what I got to do for this team, but, you know, I'll start if I have to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he always throws that stuff in, and it feels like just that stuff, just knowing the veteran guys in that locker room, that I'm not saying it drives them nuts. I'm not saying that they dislike him. I'm just saying that that kind of stuff makes those guys kind of roll their eyes. Is that fair to describe it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue with Kuz is, like, on this team, he has no stature, right? Like, you're not LeBron.
Right.
You're not AD.
Right.
And
you're not even like Danny Green, who's won a championships, right? Like,
multiple championships, right? You're not Rondo.
Right.
So you're like the last kid standing. And on the previous Laker teams, he was the guy with all the state. He was the oldest kid. He was the one who was looked at as kind of the leader and the older guy. And he, you know, he had worked himself into a position that nobody really forecast for him because he was the late round pick, not the lottery pick, not the late, I'm sorry, late first round pick, not the lottery pick. And, you know, he had kind of earned what he had gotten and wanted to take on that responsibility. So I have a lot of sympathy for him in that his role within the franchise really changed. Like, he was the guy that all of us, when the question would come, hey, do you see any of these kids who have, you know, the Mamba mentality? I mean, the answer was always Kuz. It was Kuzma has that. He's the guy who's like exhausted on the floor after, you know, at the end of a game, still trying to will them to victory, right? Like, that was him. And all of a sudden, you're like the low man on the totem pole. You're like, you and Alex Caruso should go hang out, you know? Right. I mean, and no offense to Caruso, okay? But just, it's just the way things change. But I also think, you know, this is life. Like, this happens to all of us, George. Correct. Like, I, you know, no matter what position you're in right now in your current job, I guarantee you it will change over time. Yes. Like, you will be the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, the only thing that doesn't change is Mason and Ireland. They change time slots, okay? Sometimes they're in the middle of the day, sometimes they're evenings, but like, for the most part, they've had like a monopoly on the LA radio market for the past 25 years. Right. I don't know how they've managed to do that. But seriously, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, one day, it will change.
Yeah, it will.
For you and I, look, yes, sometimes you are the golden boy. Sometimes I'm the golden girl. Other times, it's kind of like I'm the third or fourth choice. Like, oh, wait, Woj said no. Zach Lowe didn't answer me. Windhorst said no. Oh, Momo's available, right? Like, sometimes you're like,
that is how life works. Yeah,
yeah, that's how life works. And you got to roll with that.
Yeah, he has to deal with it. and, you know, professional athletes sometimes can struggle with some of that because they're used to being the guy,
right?
You know, where they've been. So, for sure. All right, Momo, you know what's happening in a couple of minutes?
I'm excited.
The chance
to
give away a car. But you can't call in until you hear Sal, but it's going to happen in the next couple of minutes. Stay tuned to listen for your chance to win the 2021 Mazda, to get a virtual key to be qualified to win the 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport. Either way, you're getting a $100 gift card if you're caller 7 to Islands, but you will get one of those virtual keys that could start that car. We will be back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Chris. We do have caller number 7, Michael Garcia from Orange. Do you have today's destination of the day?
Woohoo! I sure do. Zuma Beach.
It is Zuma Beach. Woo-hoo! Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Now let's see which virtual key you get.
Llave número tres.
Key number 3.
There it is, llave número tres, key number 3. So congratulations.
That's a lucky key right there.
That's right. That was Key's college number, by the way. Keyshawn Johnson's as well.
I like that.
Congrats, Michael. Michael Garcia, of course, from Orange. That virtual key could be the one to start the 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport from Culver City Mazda on Monday, November 30th, when we give it away. And, of course, for qualifying, you get a $100 gift card from Islands. So congratulations on that, too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, all right. Hold the line. Hold the line. Laura's going to get all your information. All right.
Cool. Thank you, buddy.
Yep. And thank you to Islands Restaurants. Islands features specialty burgers, fresh cut fries, tropical drinks, great happy hour deals, and the coldest beer in town. That is always where we go after we play softball. Back when we used to go play softball at the park.
Back before COVID.
Before
COVID, we used to do all sorts of stuff, including hanging out at Islands, which is
that
awesome
because
the beer is really cold and awesome. Listen tomorrow, by the way, in the 3 o'clock hour. Of course, Mason in Ireland will give you another destination of the day. And then listen for the cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour of this show each and every weekday for your chance to win that car, man. 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport, courtesy of our friend Sal Gonzalez and Culver City Mazda, and your friends here at 710 ESPN in the month of giving. So that's it. Congratulations to Michael Garcia. We have another one, obviously, tomorrow. So listen in the 3 o'clock tomorrow, 3 o'clock hour tomorrow for Mason Ireland's Destination of the Day, and then the 5 o'clock hour, LZ will be back, and he and I will give away one more virtual key, and we're going to keep doing it each and every weekday until Thanksgiving. And then the week after that, that Monday, November 30th, we are giving away that car. That's how it's going to work. Real quick, Laura, are you there? Hit me up with what you need to know real quick so we can do that. And actually, while you're doing that, let's welcome in Clinton Yates. Hello, Clinton Yates.
And that's my music. Thank you. Ooh. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, but I'm doing good, man. So let me say something quickly. Momo was asking a question during the break, like, about the Masters. And I'll tell you this. The Masters is the one, like, sporting event, or one golf event, rather, that gets me and all my boys from college, like, on the all-day chatter throughout the tournament, no matter what. And I think the reason for that, as much as anything, is because the Masters was the one tournament that was actually during the school year,
right?
From a major standpoint, when you're in college. So, like, at the end of the year, you watch the Masters with your boys, and it becomes a thing. And the Masters is easily the most fun golf tournament, there is. I mean, it's all sorts of history with Augusta. We get all that. But, like, from a pageantry standpoint, it's hard to match Augusta. So I think a lot of people just like talking about
it. Yeah, I think it was when Tiger was, won last year, obviously. So they did about 11 million people watching the final round. And as it was all wrapping up and Tiger won, it was 18 million viewers at the peak at the end. So
yeah, I actually happened to be at one of my boys' house during this, from that thread, and we watched it together, just like old times. It was real fun.
I was on a flight back from Toronto doing a playoff game. Orlando had taken a 1-0 lead on Kawhi and the Raptors, and I was flying back to LA, and I watched the whole thing. I cried when Tiger hugged the kids. That's what got me. It was great. It was great to watch. And Tiger's doing well. Speaking of which, Laura, hit what you need to know so we can tell people what's going on at the Masters. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. So the leader is Paul Casey at 6-under, but everyone wants to know about Tiger, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiger is 2 off the pace, and he is, let me see, yeah, he is at 4-under, 2 off the pace at 68. That is the best first round Tiger has ever had. So it's pretty wild stuff right now when you look at it. Momo, we'll start with you. I think everybody's rooting for Tiger, right? Like, at this point, you want to see him do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was Tiger had such a fall from grace, and it was so embarrassing, and then it just kept going for so long that we're just, like, open-throated rooting for him now. Like, he has been humbled. He feels bad. Like, I mean, like, whatever he did wrong earlier, it's like, he served his time, right? Whether that was just, self-inflicted or not, like, he was down for so long. Now you just want him to succeed, or you want to see the comeback story of the old guy.
Yeah. Now, real quick, I'm watching the Masters coverage now, and it's the re-air. So I was literally, as I was reading that, it had Paul Casey at 6-under, and I didn't realize that he was still on the course in this re-air. So he actually finished at 7-under, and Tiger's 3 off the pace. Nonetheless, Tiger had a great first round, and Paul Casey is still your leader. Clinton, I mean, are you in for Tiger Mania Part 2?
Quite frankly, I got enough of that last year, and everybody knows I tune into sporting events about sports I don't exactly care about for one reason and one reason only: fashion updates. Didn't like Tiger's look today. Too many earth tones, the brown and the black combo with his kind of caramel skin. Not a good look. Need something to pop a little bit more. Casey's shirt also, by the way, was like from Sidney Dean era 1992. Like, what is that polo? Where did you get that design from? So there's a couple of odd looks on the course today. That's what I tune in for personally.
Yeah, and then Bryson DeChambeau is at 2-under, and he's jacked, and he's trying to hit it really far, but his putting game is a weakness, and it's showing thus far today. So that's what's going on at the Masters. But actually, we have some news regarding the Masters that's not about the players. So check this out. Obviously, because it's in November, CBS has chosen. Look, the first 2 days are on ESPN, and the second 2 days are on CBS. That has been the more recent tradition when ESPN got involved with the Masters. So CBS has blown off their 10 a.m. NFL games, obviously, to air the Masters. And they have said that the Masters should end at noon Pacific. However, if it does go over and it goes over to past the 1 o'clock games here, Pacific time, the Masters would then shift over to the Disney ESPN family of networks and ABC. So part of me is kind of rooting for the Masters to go over so we can get a love on ABC.
Yeah.
That's a tough little deal.
Yeah. Because the NFL, Roger Goodell said, you can get out of those early games, you ain't getting out of those late games.
I mean, that's interesting. I like that we might like benefit from that. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that you could just sort of transfer over like that. I imagine that's going to be actually a pretty
well, you know, it's
affair when it comes down to it.
Well, Jim Nance will be doing the call on ABC if that does happen.
Ooh, is that how that's going to work?
Yeah.
Do we have to pay him?
No. This is just the deal they worked out because of the NFL. CBS worked out the deal with us because we already have Thursday-Friday rights, so it makes sense to do the deal with us. And obviously you have to put that on ABC because of the wide range and everybody, you know, everybody has ABC. Not everybody has cable anymore, you know?
So, yeah.
It's weird.
There you go. Last thing for you, what you need to know. Tesla. Do you want to know do you want to take a guess what Tesla's into next? That's not cars. Momo, take a quick guess. It's not cars, but it's something that
I have a guess.
Something we all use. Waiting on them to call me back about my Powerwall for 6 months. You know, they fired all their customer service people. So I'm on the waiting list.
This next product could help you with your waiting time, perhaps. Okay. Go ahead, Clint.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. My guess has changed. I was going to guess vacuum cleaner.
No, the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, like a Roomba. You can move it around. Yeah, you can play video games with it.
No, you're way off. Tequila. Tesla tequila is now a thing. It is the shape of a lightning bolt, and it is sold out already. You cannot get yourself some Tesla tequila.
That's a bad message to send. A self-driving car selling booze, implying that maybe on some level you can drink the booze and your car can drive for you. I don't like that. I mean, I like Teslas as a car, but that's actually very weird messaging to me.
It is strange, but nonetheless, the fact that it's sold out is kind of weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Tesla is like trying to do no people working for them. It's like everything's self-driving and, you know, the customers, like there's no one you can call. Like this summer when it was really hot and I live in the valley, I'm like, Nevin, we got to get one of those power walls just in case, you know, the power goes out. It's going to be 120 and there's nobody build. We have a baby now. We can't be like 3 days without power. And he calls and there's like, you just like leave a message and you're just endlessly waiting for a callback.
You're in the queue.
Yeah, you're in the queue. And like, it literally could be 6 months because apparently when the pandemic hit, they were just like, you know, we don't actually need customer service. People will just wait for us.
So you know it's a big Tesla town, speaking of that, which that would never happen, is Nashville. Like new money, a lot of people have like the Tesla percentage. Yeah. Is like my buddy used to work there. He's like whatever. And like the percentage of Teslas per capita in Nashville is like way higher than you would ever expect it to be.
Wow. That's a good point. There is a lot of new money there. I feel like everybody in Southern California has a Prius or a Tesla or some variation of an electric car.
Yeah. Get the Powerwall. If you live somewhere hot, you better get that Powerwall. Like, we're going to have rolling blackouts in California for the next 10 years.
What exactly is the Powerwall? I don't even know that I understand this concept.
It's basically like you get solar panels, and then it's like a battery that stores power that can your whole house can run on for 3 days if we have rolling blackouts.
We have solar panels
here all the time.
At this house, yeah.
But the solar panels, like, they don't necessarily store the power they collect.
Right.
This is the battery cell. Like, this, if you already have solar panels, you need the Powerwall to store it.
Yeah, they dissipate the energy to everybody, and then buy back what you get.
You know what it's kind of like? You know, it's like a Mophie.
Yeah, California, it is like a Mophie. That is a great way to describe it, yes. California Edison, if you get solar panels, man, there have been months they've bought the power from us. They give us a credit.
Do you know that they can take over your Nest? What? Do you have a Nest system at your house?
I do have a Nest.
This is like full conspiracy radio now.
No, this is for real, okay?
Okay.
Oh, this summer when it would get to be really hot, Southern California DWP, like they have like some kind of deal with Nest. And if you have Nest power system, you will literally not be able to turn on your air conditioner below 80. Like I was like, man, it's really hot in here. And I was like, turn it down and it won't let you change your thermostat. They take control during peak hours. There's like these peak hour times between 3 and 6. Wow. And they just take control of your system. And we like called the air conditioning guy. We were like, hey, man, we just paid you for this whole new system. And he's like, yeah.
That never happened. Now,
right,
granted,
I'm trying to listen to Sedano and LZ, and I'm over here sweating my butt off.
Yeah. Don't get Nest. Get the Honeywell or get some other brand.
See, I have had a Nest and never. Now, granted, you know, that in the Valley, it gets hot. Like in the South Bay, we only had like one or, you know, that the last really bad heat wave, we got to like 100 degrees out here, too.
Yeah.
But generally, you know, it's in like the, you know, even the hot days, like in the
80s. It's doable.
Yeah. But yeah, the Valley, I mean, y'all. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, do you remember that Entourage like episode when they were, you know, back in the day when they were like Vince was Aquaman was debuting and they were going to the different theaters and they had to go to the Valley and Drama was like, no, bro, I can't go to the Valley. I got to hydrate.
Yeah.
That's a great poll, George.
I'm from here. So I've lived all my life. So I think I'm like naturally acclimated.
Yeah.
Like I can deal with that hot weather.
Yeah.
You know, I've just like grown accustomed to it. But we also have survival mechanisms. It's like, We've never had this like instability of air conditioning issues like we have had the last few years.
Refrigeration matters.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
I do have actually one more for you. It's about the Rams. So Kevin Demoff, Greg, right? It was Kevin Demoff who said this about their uniforms?
Yes.
So Kevin Demoff, their president, says there is a possibility that they may change their uniforms every year. Now look.
Ooh.
This is crazy to me in this regard. I like the original ones, okay?
No.
Can we get those back? Like, I don't love these, and I get that you want to create more because it creates more revenue. I understand that. I ain't hating on you trying to make money. But it's like, man, like, I know the NBA does it with the city uniforms, but it's not – they don't wear those all the time. How do you feel about that, Momo? What do you feel about the Rams being the first NFL team to potentially change them year to year?
You know what? I think I'm going to go the other way on this. I think they haven't got any of that right yet. Like, I mean, it's sitting right there for them. Just like go back to
keep going until you get it right.
Right. Keep going until you get it right. Plus, it's kind of like Oregon football. Like they have like a new uniform every week. Like that's kind of the cool thing. And it becomes like, ooh, what's Oregon going to wear? Right. Like, ooh, which one are they going to, you know, and then that becomes a source of debate. And that was like kind of cool. They used it in recruiting for a minute. So, like, if they, you know, there's even if you have it, at least you're not stuck with it forever.
Okay, here, this is directly in my wheelhouse on a lot of levels. And there's two things that are at play here. Number one, the Rams didn't exactly do well with their rollout, so they're sort of trying to chase that. But number two, the Chargers are the best-looking team in the NFL. Like by miles. So they're kind of dealing with like this head to head of like nobody's going to go and just buy a Rams jersey because it looks cooler. They're only going to buy it because they're a Rams fan. And even then, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So like they're losing the psychological battle on top of the actual physical battle with the Chargers right now. So they got to do something. And I think there's a panic element to what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't feel it. I wouldn't do it either. All right, that is what you need to know. Extended version today.
Yeah.
Presented by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. Clinton, we have a few minutes here, and then we can kind of dive into some other stuff, obviously, with you in the next segment. Momo and I have obviously talked a lot of basketball today because the basketball world has kind of exploded here with rumors about guys moving places. Let's start with Westbrook because I do want to get to Harden individually as well. What do you make of just kind of where we are with Russell Westbrook, where, you know, Brian Windhorst is on SportsCenter saying that there's probably not a huge market for him? Like, what's a good fit for him? How do you feel about where his game fits in today's NBA, et cetera?
Westbrook, I think – see, here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that this guy really wants to go. I think there's a certain amount of – I think at this point of his career, let's just say spiciness that – is kind of required in his game, you know, like, you know, it's his birthday, you know, I there's a lot going on. It's been kind of a weird year, never mind a weird off season where, you know, we're going to have between the draft and opening that 5 weeks or whatever, you know, I'm not going to say I take this with a grain of sand or a grain of salt, but like, I don't have to kowtow to this. You know, I don't know that Russell Westbrook really walks onto any team in which there's anything already established that's any good. And it's going to get what he wants. You know, I just feel like maybe with the opportunity where you have a new coach coming in, it's a decent time to say something without completely blowing everything up. I'm willing to take this as sort of a rough ride as opposed to like jackknifing on the side of the road. But, I, you know, where he goes, I think that's really hard to determine. It just depends on what he wants. Is he going to be the man, or does he want to go to a good team? Because I think they're kind of mutually exclusive at this point, considering how much money he has on his deal.
Momo, you seem to feel like he wants to potentially be the man again, or at least that's something that's crossing his mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, initially when we talked yesterday, I thought he was trying to get to some good teams. It seemed like that was the initial intel I had. And then I had a couple more conversations, and I turned around on that completely. Like, just it sounds like he and James didn't get along. That whole partnership didn't work, and he wants to go and be the man again. Like, I mean, that's just the vibe that I get.
Would love Russell Westbrook then, God, if that's the case.
I told us going to be talking about that for months, if so.
I don't know. Look, if you're the Knicks, like, Leon Rose has been so disciplined. I mean, have you heard any embarrassing stories out of New York?
No, not since the initial nonsense when the guy, the brand guy that went on First Take?
Oh, gosh.
What was that guy's name?
Steve Stout. Yeah, yeah. You know,
I mean, there was evergreen tweet for the Knicks is, you know, considering the initial debacle, you know, but going forward.
Yeah. I mean, look, Steve Stout kind of made some noise. The worst story that's come about the Knicks has probably been James Dolan not sending any kind of response during the Black Lives Matter stuff. Remember when all the protests were happening and everyone was like, hey, 29 other teams have put out statements of support.
Except the Knicks, right.
Except the Knicks. And not only did they not put anything out, they sent something to their employees explaining why they aren't or shouldn't or whatever, and then they backtracked. Yeah, that was embarrassing. But that wasn't Leon Rose. That was Jim Dolan.
Right.
Since Leon Rose has taken over, I don't think he's done many interviews. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's done many – he made much noise. You haven't seen him do anything loudly. Nothing about what Leon Rose has done so far suggests to me that he's going to just, like, let's go get a star.
Right.
Right? Like, Let's
figure that part out.
Let's
take a break.
Builder.
Let's take a break. Let's get into the Harden part of it. There's obviously Kawhi reaching out to another star, who I'm sure the Lakers fans would love to have. We'll get into that as well. Clinton's hanging out for another segment. Momo's here. Sedano and LZ.